and our only expectation be in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Congregation, let us continue this worship service by singing Psalm 116, the stanzas 2 through 5. Psalm 116, the stanzas 2 through 5.
God of that.
grace in the scripture reading in this morning hour can be found in God's holy and infallible word in the book of Genesis chapter 32. Genesis chapter 32. But first we will read the holy law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness, or anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and the fourth generation of them that hate me, and shewing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against the neighbor, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. We repeat the scripture reading, Genesis 32. And Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, This is God's host, and he called the name of that place Mahanaim. And Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau his brother, unto the land of Seir, the country of Edom. And he commanded them, saying, Just shall ye speak unto my lord Esau, thy servant Jacob says thus, I have sojourned with Laban, and stayed there until now, and I have oxes and asses, flocks and menservants and women servants, and I have sent to tell my lord, that I may find grace in thy sight. And the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, We came to thy brother Esau, and also he cometh to meet thee, and 400 men with him. And then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people that was with him, and the flocks and the herds, and the camels into two bands, and said, If Esau come to the one company and smite it, then the other company which is left shall escape. And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which said unto me, Return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast shewed unto thy servant, for with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother with the children. And thou hast said, I will surely do thee good, and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. And he lodged there that same night, and took of that which came to his hand a present for Esau his brother, 200 she-goats and 20 he-goats, 200 ewes and 20 rams, 30 milk camels with their colts, 40 kine and 10 bulls, 20 she asses and 10 foals. And he delivered them into the hand of his servants. Every drove by themselves and said unto his servants, Pass over before me and put a space betwixt drove and drove. And he commanded the foremost, saying, When Esau my brother meeteth thee and asketh thee, saying, Whose art thou? And whither goest thou? And whose are these before thee? And then thou shalt say, They be thy servant Jacob's. It is a present sent unto my lord Esau, and behold, also he is behind us. And so commanded he the second, on the third, and all that followed the drove, saying, On this manner ye shall ye speak unto Esau when ye find him, and say ye moreover, Behold, thy servant Jacob is behind us. For he said, I will appease him with the present that goeth before me, and afterward I will see his face. Peradventure he will accept me of me. He will accept of me. So went the present over before him, and himself lodged that night in the company. And he rose up that night and took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons, and passed over the ford Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook, and sent over that he had, and Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, Let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, What is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with man, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, Tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh, and to this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew of that shrank. So far the scripture reading. Let us pray. Lord, we are gathered together around thy word and eternal witnessing. May it be with reverence and in an holy desire to meet thee by word and spirit. Time flies with incredible speed, and by nature we have no idea where we come from and where we are traveling to. O Lord, let us preach thy word according to thy will, and by thy Holy Spirit open our hearts for thy word, and thy word for our hearts. Our hearts can be like a diamond, so hard, but thy can break the hardest of hearts with thy eternal grace and mercy. O Lord, that hearts may be broken this morning hour under the preaching, that our hearts may be broken this morning hour under the preaching of thy word. And we need thy attendance, we need thy spirit. Without thy spirit, the preaching will be nothing else than empty words. Fulfill us with thyself, O Lord, with thy love, with thy spirit. Make room for thyself, because by nature there is no room in our hearts, and even after grace there is no room in our life and heart for thee, O Lord, except thy makes room for thyself. O Lord, open the scripture, because we have no understanding of thy divine word. We are foolish, and we have no human brains. Lord, help us. We are in terrible need. Without Thee, there is nothing but sin and damnation. Without Thee, there is nothing but hell. Lord, we pray Thee, go through the rows and touch every one of us by Thy word and spirit. Then Thy will have the praise. Be with the sick and the afflicted. Be with the widowers, the widows and the orphans. Also, in that disaster on Haiti, O Lord, be with the people, in the wounded people, the dying people, that it may be, that it may lead to true conversion, O Lord. Send Thy Spirit in them, in their hearts. Send Thy word to them, O Lord, and that Thy honor may be, that I may receive the honor of all the help, that it may increase Thy kingdom, O Lord. Be with the helpless, be with the... There was a big earthquake and so many people died. O Lord, be with the wounded and everyone in hospital. Be with Thy people here and everywhere. Thy know where Thy people live. Also, there where the throne of Satan is, O Lord, be with Thy persecuted people. Also in the Western world, bless Thy word to our souls and let us rejoice in Thee. We pray Thee for Jesus' sake. Amen. Beloved, last time we have heard that Jacob had increased exceedingly with Laban, for God was with him and he blessed him. But where God blesses congregation, the devil slanders because of God's blessings. And people of God in our midst, you will always get a burden to bear when God blesses you. So the Lord hangs weight on the clock. And quite often the devil is engaged in making the word of God suspicious in the life of God's children. However, the attacks of the devil must work for good to them that are called out of the darkness to his wonderful light, according to his purpose. And then God gives his dear children a burden to bear, and that is necessary for also after grace received. A man has so much yeast in his shoes that he soon rises in pious pride with all those blessings. For flesh would like very much to sit on God's throne, so that we need true humiliation after humiliation. But let us not think that we are so much humble people, beloved, for there is often an adder behind that self-made humbleness. Somebody says, but I'm not like that, for I have to go through such deep ways. Yes, I know. But that condescension is nothing but enmity against God and His work. Because the mind of the flesh is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God. For neither indeed can it be, and they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So, there are people who suppose love hearing the truth. But if you ask them personally, how and when has God taught you to be united with Him and reconciled as an enemy? Yeah, then you feel the enmity rising. Or there is complete silence. Now look, Laban seemed to be such a spiritual man, but Jacob saw his face and knew that a storm was brewing, for it says, and he heard the words of Laban's son, saying, Jacob had taken away all that was our father's. Yes, beloved, when you get something from God, the devil says that you have stolen it. And here the devil makes use of Laban's sons to slander that which Jacob had received from God. And the same viciousness was to be read on on Laban's face, for it says, and Jacob beheld the countenance of Laban, and behold, it was not toward him as before. Yeah, as long as Laban worked and increased Laban's possessions, Laban could make a pious face. And then his face could shine like the sun. And then he seemed to be a most nice and amiable man. But when he saw that God was favorable to Jacob, and that the Lord blessed Jacob exceedingly, Laban's vicious face got a vicious look. And all that inflated piety disappeared like snow in the summer. And that's what Jacob could read on Laban's face. And there are always people who think that they will get a place in the hearts of God's people if they talk and act piously. But to some of his people, God has given spiritual, antennas, which see through all that faint piety, like we can see by Peter, when he saw through Simon, Simon the clown, who was using magic arts. He said to that Simon, Peter said to that Simon, I see thee to be in the gall of bitterness and bond of unrighteousness. So, it was the same case with Laban. Jacob saw through Laban, for Jacob had some self-knowledge. But Laban didn't get further than Laban, the hypocrite, with all his polished piety. But do you know, beloved, who had also seen and heard it, the slandering against Jacob? Well, it was the God of Jacob. He had listened to all the slanders of Laban's sons, and he had seen Laban's viciousness. But God had known Laban's viciousness from the foundation of the world, and that is quite something. Beloved, be aware. We have to deal with an all-knowing God. People of God in our midst, be therefore wise as serpents, and harmless as doves. For God looks on the heart. He knows those from far who hide in sinful pride their ways unholy. And the Lord said to Jacob, return unto the land of thy fathers and to thy kindred, and I will be with thee. So, Jacob is ordered to leave Laban, to go to his native country. And then Jacob conferred with his two wives, Rachel and Leah, and told them about his experience with their father Laban and the message of the Lord. And he also tells them what Laban had done to him with his deceits. And Jacob had nothing to hide for his two wives. And that's the way it should be in a family. A man should not have any secrets for his wife, or the other way around. All matters pertaining to the welfare of the family should be discussed. And that is inherent mutual love. That is inherent to mutual love. And Jacob shows his love to both women, though he loved Rachel more than Leah. God had revealed Laban's deceit to Jacob, and at the same time provided for Jacob by multiplying his flock with the spotted cattle in this way, compensating liberally for Laban's deceitful dealings with Jacob. And these dealings of God, Jacob makes clear to his wives, both of them. And who can fathom God's wise dealings? God has revealed them to Jacob. And Jacob told his wife this. And why does Jacob do this? Well, quite simple. Jacob knew that if he would leave Laban's place without informing his wives, that it was God's will that he leave, he would make himself a suspect in his own family. And there had been enough quarrels between the women, and now that peace had returned, Jacob wants to be a good husband to both his wives, and tell in the intimate family relation what God has done and how he wants to act according to God's will. And now it appears that Jacob had two good wives, for they immediately sided with him. And those wives are good wives that side with their husband in all circumstances and in the fear of the Lord. And that is the husband's honor. And it is also honors a woman that she holds her husband in high esteem. And there have always been wives who dropped their husbands in the nick of time. But Rachel and Leah were totally different. For it says, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Now husband and wife should be one in holy matrimony. One of heart, one of feelings, one of thoughts. And Rachel and Leah were helpmates for Jacob in according to the order of creation. What is the order of creation? God, the head of Christ. Christ, the head of man. And the man, the head of the woman. And it doesn't mean that they were that Rachel and Leah were just women to help him, to help Jacob outwardly, but they were a consolation, a support, and a help in all things before God and man. And at least in this matter, for they said, now then, Jacob, now then, whatsoever God has said unto thee, do it. So they also show their indignation about what their father had kept from their inheritance to which they were entitled. For what Rachel and Leah had received, they had received from God, not from their father. And in this, Laban, their father, is condemned. For parents should work for the children, and that is biblical, for their little children. But Laban had consumed all that Rachel and Leah were entitled to. The world may promise a lot, but be warned, the world will eventually deceive you, because the devil is the prince of all evil. Just look at the prodigal son in the parable of the father and the two sons. The younger son had gone out into the world, and eventually he became a swineherd. He didn't even get the husks. And if he had not fed back to his father, he would have died in misery. Now, beloved, that will be your portion if you seek your delight in the world. Then sooner or later you will die without God and without hope if God does not interfere. And Rachel and Leah were better off, for they had a husband who feared the Lord. As such, they were kept by God, and these women were granted to acknowledge this, for it says, for all the riches which God has taken from our father, that is ours and our children. And that was a confession to God's honor. Here Jacob's wives were in a good frame of faith. God-fearing women. And this was no failing. No, they gave the honor to God and were deemed worthy of being on God's side. Jacob's side was God's side, and God's side was Jacob's side. But sometime later, when Jacob had set all his goods and his children on camels, Rachel stole her father's idols. In Dutch, it calls it the teraphim. And that images of Laban were cursed idols, using a kind of soothsaying. Here is shown how Laban stood with God. He had seduced his children to idolatry. And it looks like Rachel showed her distrust in the living God and her trust in such a diabolical idol. But beloved, by nature, all of us have chosen for this image worship. However, I don't think Rachel meant to worship an idol, but I think she took her father's religion away by stealing his idols. But more about that later. Let us put our hearts beside it. Do we prefer Jacob's God to all human and pagan advice? For our heart is full of idols. And for instance, the images of a religion without God. For it is grace if we have chosen the good part with Mary. And therefore she was granted to side with the Lord Jesus. And nowadays there are certain circles which think that a man can wait passively till the Lord converts him. But we must say that those people have made a caricature, how do you call that, a caricature of the carnal nature. And in this context we might say there are having images, for by nature a man is not passively but actively dead. He is active in his death. And of course, God does all concerning the work of salvation. But this should be understood like this. God has done all that pertains to the work of salvation. And in the election, man has no part. In the regeneration, man is passive. In justification, man is passive. But in the conversion to God and in the sanctification to God, man is not a stick or a stone. For God makes his reconciled people willingly. For then the Lord has left an afflicted and poor people who shall trust in the name of the Lord. So in the part of thankfulness, a man is involved out of and through free grace to bear good works of faith. I say to bear, not to produce, not by works of the law, but by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And then the church bears fruit out of Christ. For Christ says, your fruit is found in me. So, God's children are the fruit of the green tree. Do you hear that? God's children are the fruit of the green tree. They bear fruit. They are the branches. And also the fruit. But in certain circles, they say that God's children produce fruit. Yeah, like grain on an auger. But that is a false doctrine, beloved. And on the other hand, there are people who say God does it alone. But they can live in pleasure day after day in sin and in their carnal nature. Now that is a dead doctrine. And of course it seems very impressive concerning salvation to say God does it alone. And that is true. But when it is said to keep God at a distance, then that is a stinking fruit of rotten flesh. And if your soul may be saved by God's grace alone, it may become an eternal wonder. And then you have no time enough to praise the Lord. And then it will be heard through him alone. Then you become a witness. God does it alone, yes. But if this saying is a fruit of a deadly passive orthodoxy, then it is nothing but stealing images. And if you don't know anything of God's work in your life, beloved, you should never say God does it alone. For such professors perish by the thousands. But one cannot blame the Lord for this. And do you know, beloved, who are the people who say in truth that God does it alone? That is God's people, in the way of further discoveries. For they have disapproved of their best works. Eh? They have learned to declare that their best works are mixed with evil. So good works mixed with evil, what is that? That's sin. Yeah, that is the experience. Grace praise is not good works, because only God is good. God's true people will sing one day with endless thanks, O Lord, to thee. Thy wondrous works will I proclaim. Yeah. Look, they don't count anything for their sinful sanctification, for they are perfect holy in Christ. And for that reason, they give Christ the praise. But beloved, you may ask, don't God's people have good works then? Sure, but they have good works of faith found in Christ. So, we are not speaking of the works of the law here, but the works of faith. And the works which are closely linked to a life of thankfulness. And of these works, the word says, and their works do follow them. Now, good works are never in front of God's people. They know nothing of this. And they want nothing to know of this. And on Judgment Day, when the Lord will say to his people, for I was hungry and ye gave me meat, and I was thirsty and ye gave me drink, and I was naked and ye clothed me, and I was in prison and ye came to me, then the saved ones will say, Lord, when did we do this? They cannot remember that they have done this. So, the works of faith are no works which are attributed to man. Neither are they merits which influence salvation. No. They are works of thankfulness which God has prepared for his people from eternity. Thy server of love has never grieved me, the psalmist says. Yeah. Now look, they do it as unprofitable servants, because the foundation of salvation is not in them. God alone has made it, fortunately. But come, let us return to Jacob. He is about to leave for his father's house with all that God has given him. And it says, and Jacob stole away unawares to Laban the Syrian. Jacob had to go at God's expressed order. That was God's policy. And Jacob didn't inform Laban, for Laban would have prevented Jacob from leaving with God's gifts. And how Jacob had to experience in this train of life, how tellest my wanderings. He was a stranger on earth, traveling on the narrow way. And these roaming people are hunted time and again. For the devil is always putting those people in straits. And mostly he does this through his henchmen. And then Jacob is chased by Laban. And David by Saul. And this started already immediately after the fall. For then Abel was threatened by Cain. And the latter murdered him. So all God's children get Satan at their right hands, like Joshua the high priest, to slander and suspect them. And where Jesus is, Judas is also attending. And then Paul gets a Demas, Mordecai and Haman, Samson, a Delilah, and Jeremiah and Hananiah, and so forth and so on. But finally, the enemies of God, of God's people, must submit to the God of those people. For when Laban goes after Jacob, God appears to Laban and says to him, take heed that thou speak not to Jacob either good or bad. So the Lord is always a wall of fire around his people. For God himself stood between Jacob and Laban, like a firewall. And if Laban had wanted to harm Jacob, he would have had to defeat God first, and that would have meant his sentence of death. And we should understand well, respectfully speaking, God doesn't go behind the facts. No. God's people do not need draw God's attention to their needing. To their needing his help. No. Before Jacob knew that Laban was behind him, was after him, the Lord had intervened already. And he knows those from far who hide in sinful pride their ways unholy. And God has been ahead of Satan by an eternity. And their surety, who had taken their debts upon himself, he said to the soldiers concerning his disciples, If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way. Let these disciples let these go their way. And in this way Jacob could go his way, for he travelled at the cost of his Lord and Savior. But Jacob had to go through trials. Yeah. For his accusers don't hold their peace. And what Laban accuses Jacob of is actually based hypocrisy. For Laban had shown not to be worthy of being a father. He had given his daughters to Jacob with craft and deceit. And finally, he had disinherited his daughters. And now he acts as if he loves his daughter so much, for he reproaches Jacob, "What hast thou done, that thou hast stolen away unawares to me and carried away my daughters as captives taken with the sword?" Yeah, that's it. The devil doesn't care for his subjects when his prey is stolen from him, he becomes seemingly moved because of his subjects, who are not his subjects anymore. And in this way, Christ robs his people out of Satan's claws. But when he finds out that he loses his prey, and then a living soul will find out how he wants to destroy his prey like a jackal. But the Lord had said to Laban, "Speak not either good or bad." So, the Lord always stands like a wall between his dearly bought church and the prince of darkness. However, sometimes the Lord suffers the devil to oppress his people, but he does this in order that God's people will take refuge with Jacob's God. And that is the goal. And beloved, the devil cannot do anything without God suffering him. For God is on his throne, and he speaks, and it is done, and he commands, and it stands fast. And he had spoken, "Take heed that thou speak not to Jacob either good or bad." And what does that actually mean, either good or bad? Well, that means that Laban couldn't speak good, for he was a bad man. And therefore he couldn't speak any good. Can a bad tree produce the fruit of a good one? That's impossible. So even if Laban did have the intention of speaking good, God forbade him, because with Laban speaking good could only produce thorn and thistles. He was only too able to speak bad. And that's why it was forbidden to him to attack Jacob, because of that, of what God himself had told him to do. For in all eternity, Laban couldn't stop what the Lord had decreed in his counsel. And though Jacob had taken friend's leave, the Lord didn't suffer Laban to prevent Jacob's departure or to interrupt his journey. In this way, the devil will try anything to hinder or to break God's work. But Jacob's God upholds his own work. He doesn't suffer it to be broken. And here Laban accuses Laban of a crime, for he says that Jacob has abducted his daughters. Yeah. A man has his guts, but the devil knows that he cannot break God's work, and still he does anything to try it. He's a foolish devil. Maar he does anything to try it. For that one must be a devil or be used by the devil to try, for it is doomed to fail. Everything what the devil is trying in the life of grace is doomed to fail. For after all, he is a stupid devil, for he always drives God's people closer to God. But how necessary it is that we are counted worthy of being always watchful at his gates, at the gates of God. For the devil goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But through his marriage, Jacob had the only authority over Rachel and Leah, and Laban didn't. No. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. So Laban had no control over Rachel and Leah at all anymore. He had even lost his daughters in a base way. Yeah. Criminals accuse others of what they commit themselves. And that lives in all our hearts by nature, beloved. We are sinners. We admit. That we are sinners, we admit. But when the Lord comes into our lives with his law, then we are exposed as criminals, just like Laban. Oh, beloved, let us not raise ourselves above Laban, but go to Jacob's God with that evil Laban. For that Laban can only be silenced by the Lord. That inside Laban, he may oppress you, but not get the better of you. People of God, be not afraid, for Jacob's God speaks through Isaiah. Yet now hear, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen, thus says the Lord, that made thee and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou Jeshurun, who I have chosen. God's words constrained Laban to let Jacob go, like Pharaoh had to let the people of Israel go. Pharaoh came to grief, but eventually God's enemies will come to grief. And then to think of it, that by nature we are all enemies of God, who has created us perfectly to be his image bearer. But now we all have fallen in with Satan, and never to return to God anymore. It is eternally impossible for a man to return to God by himself. For the way back to paradise is barred with the flaming sword of his revenging justice. But congregation, God has taken reasons from himself to bring his people back into his blissful communion. He himself has thought of a way of deliverance, a way of escape, and he will see to his honor himself. He will exalt and glorify himself in the Son of his eternal pleasure. Now look, the Lord needs nobody to glorify him, for he is the perfectly happy one in himself. But when Christ didn't offer himself for his people, the devil would always be able to say to God, now I have robbed thy creatures from thee, whom thou hast created to thy praise. Now, however, God could have wiped humanity away justly, for he glorifies his name by destroying the ungodly. But God has been ahead of the devil by an eternity with his eternal counsel and eternal election. And that will be such a cause of marvel for those that are saved and are granted to look into God's pleasure, that eternity will be not too long to marvel at that wonder. For Christ has purchased his people unto God with his own blood from the foundation of the world. Yeah. Now Laban also accused Jacob of having stolen his gods. Now that's quite something. Huh? Laban had gods that could be stolen. Now what good is a god that can be stolen? Yeah, of course they are worthless idols. In his blindness Laban thought otherwise, for to him they were gods. And Laban's religion was the worship of dumb images. And it looks like Rachel was also infected with this idolatry in such a way that she had stolen her father's images. But the Bible, the Holy Word of God, gives no proof that Rachel has stolen the idols of her father to idolize with these idols. For Jacob would have seen this immediately, because he lived with Rachel the most. And Rachel has done a good thing to steal the idols of her father, because she took away his father's religion. And that was just a good thing to do. Rachel was a God-fearing woman like Leah, and even if it were the case that she planned to idolize with the gods of her father, that gives us no reason to doubt her divine childhood. So when Laban was after Jacob, the Lord spoke to him, "Speak not either good or bad." And that also concerns Rachel and Leah. Laban was not able to speak good or bad concerning Rachel and Leah, because Rachel and Leah belong to Jacob and not to Laban anymore. And actually the Lord made Laban understand, you cannot speak any good. It is only I that can do this, and I don't suffer you to speak bad. I don't suffer you to suffer my people, for he that toucheth my people toucheth the apple of my eye. And when Laban searches the tents of Jacob and didn't find anything that belonged to him, Jacob's wrath is kindled, and he calls Laban to account. And that is quite something too, because the Lord protected Rachel so that Laban didn't find his idols. Otherwise Rachel would have been killed. For Jacob had said so, namely, "With whomsoever thou findest thy gods, he shall not live. Before our brethren, discern what is thine with me, and take it to thee." But Jacob didn't know that Rachel has stolen them. Jacob didn't know that Rachel has stolen the idols of her father. So the Lord protects Rachel that Laban cannot find his idols. If Laban would have found his idols, then the name of the Lord would be slandered by Laban for Rachel's sake. So the Lord took care of Rachel, and that is a proof again that Rachel belonged to the Lord. And when Laban is looking for his gods, Elijah would have said to him, "Cry harder, Laban. Your idols may be sleeping, or they may be on a journey and are not back yet. Or they may be in difficulties and need your help. Cry aloud, for he is a god. For he is meditating or gone aside. Or he is on a journey. Perhaps he sleeps and will awake." Yes, but beloved, we have no more Elijahs in our days. And the self-made religion walks out of many pant legs up and under the pulpit. And the Salvation Army of rich young men increases like ants on an anthill. And that is bad, my beloved, because there is no place for the living child. And it has always been like that. And actually, there was no place for Jacob at Laban's place, because Laban lost his idols and his money more than Jacob, more than Rachel and Leah, his daughters. But when Laban cannot find his gods in Jacob's tents, he called to account by Jacob, for Jacob didn't know that Rachel had stolen the idols of her father, And now she was sitting on a camel to hide her father's idol, to hide her father's gods. But Jacob is not conscious of any evil. He calls his father-in-law to account. And then Jacob relates how he has fared with him and gives his service without any ulterior motive. Thou hast changed my wages 10 times, Jacob says. For Laban was filled with envy of Jacob because God's blessing to him. But Jacob was granted to end in God. He says, except the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac had been with me, surely thou hast sent me away now empty. And if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, when men like Laban rose up against us, we would have perished. But God has sent mine affliction, has seen mine affliction, and the labor of mine hands, and to rebuke thee yesterday night, Jacob says to Laban. Yeah, and then Laban feels that he was the loser, for after Jacob's expostulation, he tries to make the best of a bad job. And when a man's ways please the Lord, he make it even his enemies to be at peace with him. And that happens between Jacob and Laban. Laban feels that he was the loser. Yeah. He cannot fight against God. And that's what happens here. For now Laban submit to God's will, though fiendly. And now he gives everything to Jacob, as it were. He says, these daughters, these sons, this flock, they are all mine, says Laban. And actually he says, they have all been mine, and I have given it to you. And do you see, beloved, that Laban himself takes the honor? He steals the honor from God. That means that Laban is and remains an idolater. And then he makes a covenant with Jacob. Yeah, but I am in doubt if this covenant will be necessary. Laban was an idolater, and be careful to make an agreement with an idolater, beloved. Because Jacob shows his forgiveness, and Jacob was acting by goodwill. But Laban didn't. He was an idolater. He was a bad man. And Jacob was good, not in himself, but in God. So they gathered stones and made an heap, as a sign of the covenant, as a testimony between Jacob and Laban. And Laban called the name of the monument Gikar Sahadutya. That means the heap of witness. But Jacob called the place Gilead. And that means that meant the same, a heap of witness. So both names have the same meaning. But Laban gave it was in the Syrian language. And the name which Jacob gave was in Hebrew, the language of Canaan. That was the spiritual language. Actually, that was the spiritual language. And therefore the name of the place has been called Gilead to this day. Most probably there was a meeting about it, and they had decided to call the place Gilead. Later on Moses described it in this way, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So the name was inspired by God, and therefore the place was also called Mizpah. The Lord is called to be a witness so that it can never be violated again, without being struck by his revenge. And the covenant between Laban and Jacob is a human covenant. It is temporary covenant. But for instance, the covenant of baptism is a spiritual covenant, connected with an eternal destination. And if he remain unconverted, beloved, the covenant wrath will come and will continue in hell, in the never-ending destruction. And beloved, what do? With your baptized forehead? If you are baptized, you are baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And what does that mean? That God requires conversion to God and faith in Christ. And when we keep breaking that covenant of baptism by living on in our unconverted state, then the covenant breaker will only experience the revenge of the covenant. And that is just, isn't it? If one party breaks the covenant, the benefits of such a covenant are stopped. A child can understand this. But whoever we are, if we have baptized foreheads without being born again, then we are just under God's wrath. And that is terrible. With our own guilt. For then a man is for live for his own account and is on his way to everlasting perdition. But when one is baptized without believing in him who justifies the godly, the one is under the covenant wrath, which is called the revenge of the covenant in its application. It cannot be described how terrible that will be. Think about the rich man in hell. He was also a covenant child, for Abram called him son. But that son of the covenant was in the everlasting pain. And beloved, do seek God today and worship His majesty and pray for remission and cleansing of your whole being. And don't think that God will abandon such application, for He is a God that delights in forgiving sins. And because of the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, which cleanses from all sins. And bow your knees before that King in accepting your well-deserved punishment. But remember, He only invites filthy, wretched sinner. So if you want to cleanse yourself, you are not welcome. You have to come as you are, as a filthy, cursed sinner. And we have become so through our deep fall in Adam, and through our daily sins we increase our sin debt every day. As we are born, we are nothing but cursed sinners. And that is actually not understood by an unregenerated man. Also, every churchgoer says by nature, I'm not like that. That drug addict in Amsterdam and those prostitutes in the slums of that city. Yes, they are filthy sinners, but I'm not. And do you know what the Lord Jesus says to you then? He says, the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For He is eating with publicans and sinners. So if you are not a filthy sinner, you are. But if you are not a filthy sinner, if you don't accept that, you don't need this Savior. At best you can talk about it, about Jesus and about faith and about this and that. But the world is full of this, mind you. Full of such nice, pious people who mean so well. But when God comes into your life, do you know what you will become then? A filthy sinner, a covenant breaker. Yea, a hell-deserving sinner. And look, there are many people who say, I am a sinner, but I plea on my baptism. For that is a foundation to plea, isn't it? Well, that's true, in a certain sense. But you know, by true conviction, you become what you are, namely a cursed sinner and a covenant breaker. How can you plead? How can you plea on a covenant as a covenant breaker? How can you stick to the covenant of God? A covenant breaker deserves only one thing, and that is the well-deserved punishment of sin. And God is just, and you will justly Him when the law comes in your life. And you know, here are also people who do just like Laban, eh? They say, yes, but the Lord goes different ways with people.
Oh yeah.
Actually, they say, it didn't go with me the same way as with Jacob. But I'm also a child of God. But it need not go so deeply, for God is merciful and God is also love. Look, they are Laban people. They are willing to make a covenant. Of course they will. But they never do it with all their hearts. Eh? Wholeheartedly. Never. For if you make a covenant with God, you will lose self. And those souls justify God. Eh? Righteous art thou, O Lord, and upright are thy judgments. For only a condemned person can be acquitted. So when one speaks of Jesus but has never been condemned by the law, then one has a Jesus of five letters, eh? Not the real one. And with that, you will perish forever. Oh yeah, Laban was willing to make a covenant with Jacob, but in his own language, in the language of sin, for his own benefit. But when God puts you in Christ, beloved, in the established covenant, which cannot waver, this happens in the language of Canaan, in spiritual language. Hence, Gilead. No shibboleth, but shibboleth. And look, it has the same meaning, just like the names of Laban and Jacob in the place of the covenant, but there is an eternal difference between them. For thy language, thy speech, betrayeth thee. And beloved, do you speak the language of Canaan, or do you speak your own language, like Laban? Yeah? And then there may be much that resembles without being identical. But God's true people are often attacked with it, for they experience that Laban lives in their hearts. And that means eternal loss if God doesn't reveal himself as Jacob's God to them. And you know, there are people who cannot plead anything anymore. They have become what they are. And in this way, the two men separate, Jacob and Laban. And if you don't understand each other, you cannot live together. No. Impossible. You cannot serve God and Mammon, like Laban. Eh? Just like Orpha. Laban went back to the idols of his own. In his own country. But through free sovereign grace, Jacob could go to the promised land. The land of Father Abraham and Isaac. And he leaves of Laban forever. For the people shall dwell alone. And there they go. Laban to his own place, and Jacob to the place ordained by God in the promised land. And the land of Canaan. The land flowing with milk and honey. But it is not far yet, for God will lead his people out of Egypt himself, to the land of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. And Jacob went his way, and the angels of God met him. And Jacob received strength by the angels in Mahanaim. And it doesn't say that Jacob met the angels. No, the Lord is always the first. He is always the first in justification and also in strengthening his people. He is the Alpha and the Omega. Therefore it says the angels of God met him. And the Lord gives Jacob a cordial. He had been tried so much with Laban. And the Lord confirms his way because it is God's way. Jacob was blessed to go in God's favor. And the angels who met Jacob was a sign of God's favor. Beloved, do we go and do we live in God's favor? It is in God's favor or under his sufferance that we do or this or that we live. It is in God's favor or under his sufferance. You cannot affirm this. You go under God's suffering And then you live at your own account. And now God knows how to bring his people back to the place he chooses. But then you will have to go back all the way. Like Jonah. You have to go back all the way. And that will be grace. For many go just like Laban and Orpha, back to the idols. But Jacob may go in God's favor, and in time and again the Lord confirms this, and he shows Jacob that he will protect and keep him. The Lord established his own promises in the life of grace. And oh beloved, if that people is not assured of this, then they have fear on all sides. And Jacob was still afraid in spite of God's cordial, in spite of in spite of the strengthening by the angels. But why, Jacob? Why do you tremble like a reed shaken in the wind? You have had that godly cordial, haven't you? You have experienced a battle and also a Mahanaim. Yes, that's true, Jacob would say. But that is not enough for me. I need the Lord himself. But why, Jacob? Well, I have to meet Esau, and he wanted to kill me. When that appears, beloved, God's people can only be satisfied with the Lord himself. For when you will meet that, then men and angels are not enough, mind you. Then those people need the God of life himself. And when Esau is coming with 400 men, Jacob fears very much. Can you understand this? Jacob good, for he had deceived his brother, and the debt was still unpaid. And Jacob was reconciled to God at Bethel, but he was not reconciled with his debt. Yes, one can reason this out nicely over a cup of coffee, but Jacob couldn't, for he was to meet Esau, and Esau was an avenger of blood for Jacob. Do you understand that? And oh beloved, if the Lord causes you to meet Esau one day, yes, like a Jacob, for otherwise you don't understand anything of it. But if you had to meet Esau like a Jacob as a deceiver, where is your faith then? Where is your insurance then? For a man has a lot of insurances. Jacob has none. Yes, he had. Jacob was sure of one thing. Esau would kill him. So, Jacob had no life insurance, but an insurance of death. Yes, but Jacob, the Lord has appeared to you at Bethel, hasn't he? He has promised to protect and preserve you, hasn't he? How can you be so unbelieving now? Yeah, superficial religion knows exactly what to say, mind you. And they always believe. These people have never doubted. And their faith is sufficient to them. But Jacob also had faith. He believed that Esau would kill him. That was his faith. Now look, that is what the Lord is heading to. For Jacob cannot work with his justification. And after justification, the church fears so many times because of their unbelief and because of their little faith. And nowadays many people can work with the word and with their faith. But Jacob even cannot work with his faith. He was in fear of death because of his little faith. And a little faith looks more upon the circumstances than upon God. And do you know what a little faith does? Little faith supplicates for help. Jacob starts pleading first. He tries to move God into sparing Jacob. And when he is not successful in this way, he tries another way. He wants to give Esau presents. What shall a man give for his life? And Jacob was willing to give all instead of trusting the Lord. And there Jacob crosses the brook Jabbok with his wife and his children and his cattle. And the gifts have been sent ahead to reconcile Esau. And that is Jacob's last hope. For his servant said to Esau in verse 20, "Behold, thy servant Jacob is behind us." For he said, "I will appease him with the presence that goeth before me. And afterward I will see his face, peradventure he will accept of me." Yeah. But David had been led further in Psalm 27. He says, "When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up." That is the language of faith. But first we will sing together Psalm 27, the verses 2 and 3. Psalm 27. "One thing I have I desired of God as favor, that I may always in his temple dwell." And what follows in the verses 2 and 3 of Psalm 27. our faith must have been in the fire, otherwise we trust flesh more than the Lord. And that's what happened with Jacob in Penuel. Jacob puts his hope in giving his presents and not in the Lord, giving his presents to Esau, and not he trusts not in the Lord. It looks like Jacob had forgotten the Lord, but the Lord didn't forget Jacob. And Jacob now lives on a maybe, but God's glory doesn't suffer that. Peradventure Esau will accept of me because of my presence, says Jacob. O Jacob, have you forgotten the Lord now? No, but Esau is in between. Peradventure Esau will be merciful to me, and I am at agreement with Esau. I try to maintain myself. And he took his wives and children and his goods and his cattle and made them cross the brook. And he sent over that he had, but Jacob could not get further. For it says, and Jacob was left alone. He could not get further anymore. And when God takes away the ground of your conversion, beloved, God isolated a man and take him alone, and then your faith goes in the fire, and then you will say, goodbye my wife, goodbye my dear children, goodbye possessions, because it will be a battle of life or death for me. And then you are left alone, and then you have no church, no consistory anymore, then you have no minister anymore. Then there is only an afraid, poor, hell-deserving sinner left, who is like a dead man. And here at the Jabbok, Jacob loses his conversion because the dead looks at him. And Jacob came in the oven of fire to know his faith was true. Yes, but first to know the Lord is true. For it says, and there wrestled a man with him. Jacob didn't meet God. God met Jacob. God is always the first. And when the church sails to hell, so to speak, God is in a hurry, reverently speaking, to bring his bride up out of hell. And when Jacob became hopeless, God wrestled with him. For there wrestled a man with him until the daybreak. And God will overcome Jacob because causing his son to lose the battle for this loss is everlasting gain for the church. And my strength is made perfect in weakness. And that's what Jacob will learn here. And now Christ has become flesh to give Jacob the victory. Do you understand that? Now the Lord suffers himself to be overcome to make Jacob feel his weakness. For when I am weak, I am powerful, Paul says. And that become true. If that become true, beloved, you have to lose your conversion to be left with Christ as your only conversion. But in order to fight in his power, Jacob must wrestle in faith. For then Jacob was counted worthy to say, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Faith overcomes God. No, God suffers himself to be overcome through faith. And then the question is heard, what is thy name? And the answer is Jacob. Jacob, that means deceiver. Then Jacob confesses, I am a deceiver. I am a hypocrite. An incorrigible sinner. But Lord, I cannot live without thee in all eternity. I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And Jacob cannot do without God. But this was because God, the Lord, could not miss Jacob. For my life in all its perfect plan was ordered ere my days began. Now Jacob has lost his conversion. so that the converted Jacob may die and Israel shall live. For thy name shall be called no more Jacob but Israel. That man says. And that means a prince with God. Israel, a prince with God. And who is the prince with God now? Jacob? No, the converted Jacob doesn't live anymore. But Christ, the prince with God, lives in Israel. Jacob is buried in the death of Christ. But Israel lives in all eternity, because Christ has said to his bride, I live, and ye also shall live. And confiding the Lord Most High, he standeth evermore unmoved. He crowns him with the crown of life that never ends. And Israel is the name that no man knoweth, saying he that received it. The name Israel, the prince with God. And then Jacob confesses, I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. For there wrestled a man with him, and the man was Christ. And actually Jacob said, I have seen God, and then I lost my conversion. So I am saved, not because I am a converted man, but because Christ became my conversion. But the church also says with Jacob, and the life which I know live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. I have died, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lived in me. And the prince with God. And now I know that I have been baptized in his death, and now I have risen with him, and my life is preserved, and I would have cost my life and my soul forever. But Christ has borne Jacob away for me into a sea of everlasting oblivion. And that happened at Bethel already, and he knows that. But now Jacob knows it by practical, assured experience. And now Israel has to go through life, healthy, never to grow out above Jacob. Now Jacob goes in the way of sanctification, and then Israel must limp. Do you understand this, beloved? That is a princely life. For Jacob was afraid of Esau, but Israel not. For Jacob fears Esau, but Israel fears God. And therefore Jacob has been delivered from Jacob here. And Esau may come now. Now I don't fear Esau anymore, but now I fear God. Not in a slavish way. Yes, that is the way I fear it, Esau. But now I fear the Lord who I have seen face to face with a childlike fear. And my soul is saved. His soul was saved at Bethel, but at Penuel, Jacob received a zeal of his salvation. And then Jacob breaks out in praise. The Lord has preserved my life. Soul means life. And I now am sure that the God of Bethel is as faithful as the God of Penuel, because he remains the same yesterday and today. So Jacob's faith was in the fire. Penuel is not justification, beloved. No. Jacob was justified by God at Bethel. And now here in Penuel, his faith came in the fire. And what is left? Israel, Prince of God. Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Esau cannot either. No. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And that concerns every child of God. But if we drop through the bottom of our conversion, like Jacob at Penuel, then we don't need to be converted anymore, because Christ became our conversion. Amen. And that happens with Peter in the room of Caiaphas, when he denied his master. And after the Lord Jesus looked to the denial, Peter, Peter went outside and left his soul empty because of the eternal love of his precious Savior. And Peter lost his conversion then because Christ became his only conversion.
Yeah.
And then Peter has no legalistic fear anymore because there is no fear in true love, beloved. And Jacob experienced the same at Penuel and he didn't fear Esau anymore. And Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked. Behold, Esau came, and with him 400 men. And Jacob could say here, with my God, I can overcome a troop. The enemies will submit themselves, for who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Esau can't. Nobody can. Then the devil is silenced. And when Jacob meets Esau, then Jacob can be humble toward Esau, because Israel has been exalted by the Lord. And now he could become conformed to the image of his son, of the Son of God. He was granted to get under Esau because Jacob had been brought under God to be exalted in Christ. And then they wept together, Jacob and Esau, because Jacob became world at Penuel, and the Lord God has loved that Jacob's world is so much in Christ, then Jacob kisses the world. Do you understand that, beloved? When God saves us out of the miry clay and the dung and establishes us in Christ, then we kiss worldly sinners. Invitingly, let us go up to God's own house and bow before him there. We stand with him, thy sacred walls, O Zion, blessed for aye. Now look, then you also wish that the other one will seek that which is good. Then you have no enemies anymore. For then I am the greatest enemy, and enemies are reconciled with God. No friends, no converted people, no church people, no nice people, no well-meaning people, but only enemies. Only lost sinners will be reconciled to God. And that happens to Jacob at Bethel. But here in Penuel, Jacob received the zeal of it. In Bethel, the flower of grace is closed. But at Penuel, the flower blooms. Penuel is a fireproof of faith. And in Penuel, Jacob came into an immovable kingdom. And before Penuel, he was in an immovable kingdom. But now he stands on the rock of salvation by an assured faith. A weak faith is also true and sure. But in Penuel, Jacob lost his fear for death. In Penuel, Jacob lost himself in God. And then his enemies became reconciled with him. And that is the way for every child of God. To be fruitful, we have to lose our conversion, dear congregation. Like the Lord Jesus has said to the converted Peter. He said, and thou, when once thou hast been converted, confirm thy brethren. So, what does that mean? To be a witness of Christ, then we need a second conversion. Or to say it in other words, to be converted of our conversion. Why? To get Jesus as our only conversion. You see that Penuel is the second conversion, and that is necessary to be a witness of Christ. To preach the word, in other words. To preach the word. To be... Yeah, to be nothing. To be a prince of God. Now the story goes on. And when Esau wants to give back his present to Jacob by saying, I have enough, my brother, then through free grace, Jacob may end in Jacob's God. He says, take, I pray thee, my blessing that is brought to thee, my brother, because God has dealt graciously with me, and because I have all. And Jacob, Esau says, I have much. But Jacob could say, I have all. For Jacob had kept God. Therefore he had kept all. Therefore he could do without some cattle. And neither did Jacob need Esau when the latter offers him to his protection, for Jacob had all in God, and God was his protection. God was the firewall round Jacob. So Jacob didn't need Esau for protection. Esau, I don't need your protection. No, I have to lead on softly, according as the cattle that goes before me and the children be able to endure. In other words, Jacob said, I have to lead my sheep, but also feed my lambs. I have cows with young and also small children. And now, Esau, I am too slow for you. You are going fast on the broad way, but I am a pilgrim on the narrow way. And on that way it goes slow, but certain. And add to this that I am lame. I cannot make a headway to so fast myself. God has taught me differently. Now, Esau. So the brothers part ways, for that which is not delight for one is a burden to the other. And Esau delighted in the things of the world, but Jacob delighted in God. And to those two cannot go together anymore. No. Jacob could not serve God and the world anymore. No, Esau, I don't care for this anymore. And he didn't put himself above his brother. No. It was not possible anymore, because Jacob had a thorn in his flesh, like the Apostle Paul had, like all God's experienced people have. And Jacob had seen God face to face, and therefore Jacob couldn't live with the world anymore. For God has taken his heart, his life. And God had seen Jacob already in the silent eternity. I loved Jacob and I hated Esau. And Jacob couldn't understand that, but only marvel at it. For Esau is better than I, he taught so many times. And Jacob will have lived through it, mind you. For he had deceived his father, but God had forgiven Jacob for Christ's sake. However, Jacob doesn't account anymore. Jacob will be buried, and Israel may go to heaven to praise the Lord for heaven. May the Lord bless his own word to all of us. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together Psalm 25, the verses 2 and 4. Psalm 25, the verses 2 and 4. Shout thou unto me, thy servant, all thy ways, and teach thou me, so that thy spirit guided clearly I thy paths may see. And what follows in the verses 2 and 4, Psalm 25. Lord, we thank Thee for Thy precious word, and let it be precious to all of us, for Christ's sake, because we have a never-dying soul, and Thou art so worthy to be praised by all of us. Lord, Thou art not in need of us, but we are in need of Thee. And look upon us and take care of us in Thy begotten Son. And we are not worthy to be protected by Thee, but take reason out of Thyself. But for Jesus' sake, we pray Thee to be with us in the coming week, and also this day, O Lord. Thou know what they need, that what we need in all our circumstances. Let us fear Thee, O Lord, like Jacob did. Don't leave us, O Lord, and don't take away Thy Spirit from us. We confess we deserve nothing but hell. But remember us in Thy divine mercy, so that we may live out of Thy Son's sacrifice. And Lord, give us no room to turn liberty into an opportunity to the flesh, but that we remain in truth, in the truth, and in Thy love, so that we may serve each other by love. Bless Thy word, O Lord, to our souls. We pray Thee for Jesus' sake in the forgiveness of all our sins. Amen. The Savior and the Father's boundless love, with the Holy Spirit's favor, rest upon us from above. Amen.